This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Up in 2 days, you remember that, Michael? It was a blowout election.
It happened.
Yeah, I want to pick up on that point. Reagan had to show he could be president. How does Donald Trump show he can be president? Because for a lot of folks out there, you're talking about the folks in Connecticut, Oregon, elsewhere, those folks who just haven't warmed up to him yet. The reason they haven't, from my hearing, I think the hearing of a lot of people, is they don't know if he can be there. He hasn't demonstrated that side. What does that look like? Do we see it this week? Certainly, do we see it by the time we get to a debate? Because between now and the first debate's a long time.
Yeah, that's a fair question. And that's certainly one of the challenges of this convention. Because the whole point of this convention is to show the rest of him. Because he hasn't been seen. I mean, he's been involved in a battle that required all of his energy and strength. And so putting him in environments where his personality can come out in different ways, it hasn't existed. The convention, that's what the family... This is unprecedented, this convention, using the depth of who we are, of using family to promote the candidate.
Yeah.
And it's because they know him.
Let me ask you really quick.
Well, Manafort brings out a good point here, Scott, that this is a time to really showcase and probably try to straighten out some of these narratives that have been thrust out there about Trump, you know, about building, you know, the wall or, you know, refugees. Now people have said, yeah, you know, really taken in the context of what was said, this makes sense. You know, we need to be cautious, you know, kind of like what we were talking about with the Zika virus. We got all these athletes going to Rio. And some athletes have chosen to, hey, I'm not going to expose Miami. LeBron James says, hey, don't count me. And Rory McIlroy for golf says, I'm going to pass. Why go into an area where the threat level is accelerated and elevated and potentially expose yourself, your family? But not only that, I mean, Scott, think about it. You got 170 nations coming to an area that seems ill-equipped anyway. I mean, it doesn't even look like all the venues may be ready for them, you know, for this Olympics. I mean, it's one humongous embarrassment. And then you have the disease level that's increased as a result of Zika. And now you're going to send these 170 representatives back to their home countries to be, potential carriers of the Zika disease. How does that make sense? I mean, to me, that's kind of a practical consideration, don't you think?
You think it would be not only the Zika virus, but if you look at all the list of other issues that they're having in Brazil,
yes, right.
They have a police force that's not paid, so they're not doing their job. They got a high rate of crime again because the police aren't paid and they're not willing to work for free.
Right.
And then you also have a high level of corruption in the Brazilian government.
Oh, yeah, by the way. Yeah, exactly. So all these things work against you to say, okay, we're going to have a fair opportunity here to, you know, have a good Olympics and have it be safe and enjoyable for everybody. But, bureaucracy moves forward, it says, well, you know, all those threats be damned. Let's just keep on going. But, you know, Trump is, you know, has asked the question that a lot of people in America are asking. And I would say the majority of Americans saying, hey, look, if we know we're having problems, and historically, I mean, the evidence is there. Luke Adler, former U.S. Marshal, has been on with us several times, said, look at Bill, every time we let refugees in mass like this, we create a civil, a civil nightmare for ourselves in trying to manage them because we don't know how to vet them. We're hoping they mean well. I mean, here we are. We mean well. We're letting them in and saying, hey, look, we want to help you out. We see the dire situation you're in, and thank you very much. They come here. And they're violent people. They're people that have cheated the law in their home areas. And what are they going to do? You know, you want to know what somebody's going to do? Look what they've done. They've got a pattern. It's well established. And here they are. They're bunched up with these other refugees that, they don't know the language here in America. They don't know how, you know, everything works. They're just here in America. and they're kind of left exposed and vulnerable. And you got people there from their own country that have taken routinely and historically routine advantage of them. This is what's going on. So I think it's a fair question, and people are starting to understand that Donald Trump, though he may not be as delicate, hey, he means well, and he's got a good question. Why does the medical community dispense little colorful pills that restrict the production of stomach acid? You ever think about that? Isn't stomach acid's job to break down food before it enters the small intestines? Could this possibly lead to compromised digestion, leading further to malabsorption, leading even further to bone loss and many other health complications? Well, the FDA has issued a number of product warnings, including all proton pump inhibitor drugs, either for prescription or over-the-counter purchases. These potential interactions have ranged from absorption alterations of vitamins and minerals, metabolic effects on bone density, alteration of drug interactions and their intended effect, infection risk, and even organ damage. Is it possible to find safer solutions to heartburn? At Bill Martinez Live, we support structure and function of healthy digestion with a healthy body digestion pact. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. Healthy acids lead to healthy body. Again, 855-305-8326.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. It's great to be with you after a week in Ireland. Had a great time. Came back to the West Coast. And so I, you know, on the plane for about, 10, 12 hours of flight time, I'll tell you. So I'm only bragging a little bit, but I've made the adjustment. It's, I'm able to, make it work here as best we can. But I got to tell you, Ireland was lots of fun. And, of course, you love the Irish people because they love history. They love politics. Are you kidding me? I mean, this is... this country was born out of contention, and they are very knowledgeable and up with what's going on, with Donald Trump. And, of course, that's the big question. They asked me, do you think he's going to be president? Do you really? And all this stuff, they have, kind of a limited understanding of Hillary Clinton and, some of the scandals that have been going on. And but they were definitely very much interested, and we had some great conversations there. And of course, when you go to Ireland, it's all about Guinness, it's the bars, it's singing, and it's conversation. And I'll be going to Hawaii here in several weeks for the daughter unit is expecting, and we're getting right there to the final stages here, so we're real excited about that. And so kind of like Hawaii, they say, hey, come on, let's get together, we'll talk story. So same thing in Ireland as Hawaii. People love to talk, and there's lots to talk about these days. And speaking of which, our next guest, Craig Shirley, is with us. Always a pleasure to have Craig with us, president of Shirley and Bannister PR, political commentator, author of the best-selling works concerning U.S. history, such as December 1941, 31 Days That Changed America and Saved the World, the Ronald Reagan books, Rendezvous with Destiny, Reagan's Revolution, and Last Act. He's an authority on Reagan, having lectured at the Reagan Library, a member of the Board of Governors of the Reagan Ranch. Craig Shirley, good morning. Good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Thank you, Bill, very much. I hope you're well.
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. Hey, I'll tell you, we have so much to talk about. But first of all, let's talk about this, this contentious Cleveland Convention. I mean, for Ronald Reagan, there were some similarities when we go back and remember, it wasn't always smooth sailing for one Ronald Reagan as he was trying to break through some of the, GOP paradigms.
Yeah, that's true. Although with Reagan, the opposition was more ideological than it is personal. Mm-hmm. Now Trump has basically waged a personal campaign. In fact, his campaign manager has been all over the airwaves saying the convention is about Donald Trump, to introduce him personally to the American people, have people who know about him talk to the American people. So he's waging very much a personality campaign, whereas Reagan always waged an intellectual conservative campaign. He did not use... he eschewed using first-person pronouns. You rarely heard Reagan, unless he was forced to, say, I, me, or my. He much preferred the Catholic we, us, and ours. He didn't say my government. He said this government or your government. He didn't say my cabinet. He said your cabinet or our cabinet. But so there are very distinct differences. The dynamics are similar in terms of the establishment, in terms of the shape of the Republican Party, in terms of the evolution of the party and throwing off the shackles of kind of the corrupt establishment. But the personalities are very much different.
Well, you bring up a good point here, Craig, is that these personal pronouns, and, you know, and I'm like you, I'm uncomfortable with the I's and you know, like Barack Obama, you know, this is my white, this is my White House, you know. And so
right,
when,
my White House, my cabinet, my Air Force One. I don't think he ever met a first person pronoun he didn't like.
Exactly. And, but, you know, here it is. It's going to be either him or Hillary Clinton. And Donald Trump, I mean, let's face it, he's been the consummate CEO, the leader of his company.
Right.
He knows himself.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I just just started coughing. I was leaving you to respond to that, if you will.
Okay. Second of all, yes, Trump has an interesting resume. It is obviously, as with many businessmen, it's checkered with failures and successes. But it looks like more successes than failures. Still, he's got he's got to overcome a lot to win this. I mean, there's a lot of things going for him. The 8-year itch that is evident in American politics. They don't normally like to keep a party in power after 8 years, although Reagan proved his staying power by helping get his vice president elected in 1988, so the Republicans held the White House. But that was the first time since Martin Van Buren succeeded Andrew Jackson in 1836. So but on the other hand too is that the American people like to elect people who have governing experience, and Trump obviously doesn't have any governing experience, any political experience. So this is going to be, we're in uncharted territory. You know, a woman, first time nominated by a major party,
right,
against a businessman who's never served a day in public office. So it's going to be fascinating, that's for sure.
Well, and as you say, both candidates, the way they come against each other, I mean, they're the opposite bookends, like you say. One who's 30 years of her life has been dedicated to public service,
right,
and loaded with lots of questions.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, go ahead.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. There are a lot of questions about Hillary Clinton's ethics, her capacity, her character. But it's not clear-cut, because for every question there is about Hillary Clinton, there's an equal question about Donald Trump, which is the reason why, in part, is that both candidates have astronomical unfavorable ratings. And I think that's also just a reflection of the times. So we're just in a sour mood right now. Let's face it. America's is not happy after 8 years of Obama.
Well, it is very contentious. I mean, it seems this administration particularly has done more to divide and make us more of the ununited states than uniting us. I mean, what Ronald Reagan or Hillary Clinton?
Obama's comments in the wake of Cambridge and in the wake of Dallas is that he at inappropriate times he talks about Jim Crow and racism, and instead of talking about and it talks about things that happened 100 years ago, mm-hmm, instead of talking about the things that are happening right now, which is that America's police women are being targeted.
Without a
doubt.
That's
all there is to it. I don't know if it's a coordinated campaign, but it's certainly coordinated in terms of the thinking of the shooters, who are setting up these cops and shooting them. And Obama has struck exactly the wrong tone, and that's unfortunate. He's not appealing to the better angels of our nature. You know, most presidents try to unify the American people. There's no evidence Obama's ever tried to unify the American people.
It's kind of ironic when you think that he says that Abraham Lincoln was a president that he wanted to model his administration after.
Right.
And Well, I'll tell you, I think he's missed something there in translation. What do you think?
He is not a student of American history. He's not a student of the American presidency. He knows nothing about Abraham Lincoln. You know, at the end of the Civil War, as the country was coming back together, he was, asked what to do about the South rejoining the Union. He said, and Lincoln replied, "Let them up easy."
Yeah, exactly. Craig, we'll pick it up. We'll pick it up from there because we have to go to break right now. Craig Shirley is with us. More from Craig right after this.
Blood pressure tends to run higher during the day and lower during nighttime sleep. However, many with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP health tip after this.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really? Because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like One Touch and Walgreens True Metrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket costs when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to AARP.org.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ealy. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9859. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9859. Call 1-800-958-9859. 1-800-958-9859.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple 2 steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using the system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by The Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Every single day, promoting truth,
Bill Martinez live.
Show the mercy, show.
Hey, direct from Ireland. Speaking of which, the Gettys there from their new album. What a great, great CD and great visit we had a couple of weeks ago with Keith Getty. Craig, you'd appreciate this. You know, as I'm talking to Keith and I go, gosh, your wife, Kristen, has such a beautiful voice. She has the voice of an angel. He says, well, that's what you say. Well, you know, she doesn't yell at you that you forgot to take out the trash in the morning. She doesn't sound much like an angel then. you gotta love it, but still, it was great.
Nobody knows the personal side of any marriage, do they?
No, they don't. Well, we kind of do, but we kind of for a moment, you know, want to focus on the good part and think
that's
that the glass is half full, not half empty.
That's
but
right. Yes.
You know, but then you get you know, those mornings when you forget to take the trash, and it brings you back to reality and just say, hey, yeah, we're still human beings. We still have trash to take out, even though you've got a brilliant voice and you're a brilliant musician. You know, you're reduced to your lowest common denominator like the rest of humanity. Well, you know,
we are
getting
all
back,
human, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And that's all part of the comedy, I guess. It's just when we take ourselves too serious.
One time, a friend of mine had a meeting in the private residence with the Reagans. And he got there, and as he's walking in, Reagan has got a rolled up newspaper and he's swatting the dog for going on the carpet. And it just brought home to him the reality is that he might be the president of the United States and leader of the free world, but he's still a human being and he still has real problems just like anybody else.
Yeah, you can't control the mutt, you know, what he's
doing.
Right.
You know? Right.
Hey. And you know, speaking of Cleveland, let's get back on the focus on here. And that is that, you know, you have Donald Trump, atypical. I mean, he's a businessman coming into a political world. I mean, the fact that he's even in this position, Craig, is just astounding, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's history making. It'll be more historic if he wins. If he doesn't win, I suspect he'll fade very quickly and be considered an aberration in time and become a footnote like other losing candidates have become footnotes. But if he wins, I think in some ways it'll signal the direction or redirection of the Republican Party. Although I think if you get into it deeper, there's a lot of factors. First of all, he staked out a position that the other 16 candidates didn't stake out, so it was kind of easy to distinguish himself in a way, both his resume and his message in terms of the wall and immigration and others. He didn't, you know, really march the primaries appealing to the better angels of our nature, but nonetheless, he is the nominee, and so it's open to question: is that what type of convention he's going to produce? Is he going to produce a unified convention? Will it be a divided convention? I know Senator Tom Coburn has offered himself up as an 11th hour candidate to the delegates. Mm-hmm. So it still remains to be seen.
Well, and it seems that Priebus and some heretofore established players are realizing, hey, look, he's the guy. I mean, look at all the votes he got, and we got to make this work. I mean, we've been wanting to spread the tent pegs for a long time and open it up, and here's an opportunity. So let's find a way to make it work. And I got to tell you, Craig, I was encouraged when he picked Governor Pence.
Well, it's a sound choice, although it is kind of a tepid choice in a way, Bill, because, you know, Bob Novak, who passed away several years ago, was a very dear friend of mine. And he was in Los Angeles in 1960 for the Democratic Convention. And like everybody in the press corps at the time, he assumed John Kennedy was a rich, lightweight playboy. Mm-hmm. His opinion of Kennedy changed instantaneously when he chose Lyndon Johnson as his running mate, because Johnson was Kennedy's superior in 1960 politically, in terms of in the Democratic Party, in Washington, in every measurable way.
Mm-hmm.
So he automatically changed his opinion of Kennedy because he realized this was a much more confident, self-assured man. I'm not sure that Trump assured people, say, if he had picked, say, like a Newt Gingrich. I think it would have sent a signal that, because Gingrich's place in history is secure. He's
right.
The natural heir to the Reagan legacy. He's been on the national stage for, you know, 40 years. And it would have signaled that, and plus he would have unified the party because of his deep roots as a Reaganite, is that it would have signaled to Trump's inner direction and inner security. I think picking Pence, who is a much lesser light in terms of the history and longevity of the Republican Party, kind of speaks to Trump's, he's a bit insecure right now on the verge of the nomination.
Could you have two strong men like, and I thought about this, and I've spoken with several insiders of the Trump campaign, because early on, you know, I said, well, you know, Gingrich is the guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and as it came down to it, it was like, in fact, my tweet to them after it was, or my message to them after it was decided that it was going to be Pence was, you know, what happened to Gingrich?
Right.
And is it a situation where, you know, he was too strong and he wasn't quite the compliment that they needed?
I don't think politics works like that. I don't think politics is that you blow hot and cold, you blow, you know, big and small, you blow in and out. I think that politics is about consistency.
Mm.
And if Trump is running as an aggressive outsider, he needs somebody to reinforce that message, like a Newt Gingrich, who's an aggressive outsider. But more than that is that Gingrich, you know, as I said, is an original Reaganite. This is still Ronald Reagan's party.
Right.
It might be Trump's convention, but it's still Ronald Reagan's party. And it would have just signaled to everybody that Trump was serious about the presidency. He was serious about the nomination. He was serious about unifying the party. I'm not sure that Pence is going to do all those things to the degree that Newt Gingrich would have.
Do you think that Pence, to some degree, you know, little has been really talked about the electoral map. Does he affect the electoral map more than Gingrich?
No. Mm. And by the way, neither would have Gingrich. Is that the idea that a vice presidential choice brings along a constituency or a state is nonsense? Is that only in 1960 did Johnson bring along Texas, and only because he stole Texas? Quite literally stole Texas. That's been well documented. But you know, is that vice presidential? You choose a vice president for one reason: to produce a unified convention. So the moderate Eisenhower picks the conservative Nixon. The moderate John Kennedy picks the conservative Lyndon Johnson. The conservative Richard Nixon picks the moderate Spiro Agnew. The conservative Jimmy Carter picks the liberal Walter Mondale. The conservative Ronald Reagan picks the liberal George H.W. Bush. You pick a vice president to produce a unified convention. I'm not sure Pence gets you the unified convention to the degree that a Gingrich would have.
Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of unified, boy, I'll tell you, everybody is on high alert in light of, you know, what happened over the weekend in Baton Rouge.
Yes, terrible.
We've got a lot of contention, you know, focused there in Cleveland. I mean, you know, if they're not careful, I mean, we could light something here that's unintended.
Well, we obviously hope and pray nothing happens. I just hate the imagery, like I saw in the Washington Times this morning. The front page photo was dozens of armed policemen, with Kevlar and machine guns and helmets, you know, standing at the ready. And what a awful image to send out to the country, that we can't hold a national political convention without arming ourselves to the teeth, without maximum security. I remember I've been to many Republican conventions, and like for instance in '84 in Dallas, it was just a giant love fest. The last night of the convention, Ray Charles, you know, was up on stage singing his version of America, and there was Reagan and George Bush, and we were all on the floor, you know, rocking arms and holding hands and singing
exactly
America along with them. It was just terrific. I'd like to get back to that time.
Well, that would be nice. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, this country has had this conversation, and at times it catches itself. And, Craig, I mean, here you are. You're a PR guy. You understand the power of the word. And that we need to be.
I'm a better historian than I am a PR guy.
Yeah, but you understand that dynamic, though, and you see what's happening in terms of the language. And as you say, a picture, you know, tells a thousand words, and there it is. And it's more insightful than it is unifying, no doubt about it. Craig Shirley, president of Shirley and Bannister PR, has been with us. Craig, it's always good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. A new survey found that more than 3/4 of parents consider their child's education an important part of the search for a new home. Of those, more than half will buy a home in a specific neighborhood to get their child into a better school. The inaugural Bank of America Homebuyer Insights Report also found that the quality and reputation of a school are crucial when purchasing a new home. Kathy Cummings, Senior Vice President, Home Ownership Solutions and Education Executive, Bank of America.
With back-to-school season quickly approaching, we're seeing families take advantage of this break to move into new school districts for a better educational experience. It's important for potential buyers to sit down with a mortgage loan officer and look at their financial picture as a whole in order to make the best purchase decisions for their families. There are numerous financing and planning options available to make the transition as smooth as possible for today's home buyers.
For more, visit bankofamerica.com/homebuyersreport.
Did you know that a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-952-2797.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs, and it eliminates the daily hassle of washing your system by hand. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto! Your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer. Only available by calling 1-800-952-2797. That's 1-800-952-2797.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
You've reached Bill Martinez live.
Hey, welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Dr. Sebastian Gorka is with us, chairman of the Threat Knowledge Group, author of the book Defeating Jihad, The Winnable War. And the question is America and its allies ready to start winning? Dr. Gorka, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Very well. Thanks for having me.
Well, I guess that's the question. You know, I just got back from Ireland myself, Dr. Gorka, and the people are rather perplexed as to how disunified the international community is over, this jihad issue. I mean, and even in light of what happened over the weekend, in Nice, it's like how many more incidents like this does the international community have to be subjected to where they finally just say enough of this?
Yeah, that really is the question. We see nations respond with lots of words and platitudes. France, that has suffered so very much, seems to be doing things a little bit differently after the previous attacks. They actually reinstated their borders. They started to kind of renationalize national security. Maybe that is what is required. The international, multinational response always seems to be, you know, hashtags and changing your profile picture on social media. But that's not going to defeat the jihadis. So I think we're lacking the leadership required to deal with the threat we have today. And unfortunately, unfortunately, the jihadis keep on killing, and we keep on not responding in the requisite fashion.
Well, it's common sense, and for you, as a threat expert, you see what's going on. I mean, it's got to be like chalk hitting the chalkboard in the wrong direction. It's just screeching and rattling your eardrums to such a point to go, you know, what is it? Why are they not getting this? It just seems so obvious that action versus inaction means that he who has action is going to overcome the one with inaction, and that's what's been going on.
Yeah, I think, you know, in the case of our own country, it's obvious why it's not working or why we're not taking necessary action. It's because we have a political elite that is constantly misdiagnosing the problem. If you say that, you know, jihad is a word you're not allowed to use, if you say religion is not relevant to this war, if you say that it's just about unemployed people, then you're going to come up with the wrong answers. If you deny the reality that we are fighting a totalitarian enemy that is using religion and that these people are evil, they're not victims. The current administration, with their jobs for jihadis mantra, are really, really making out that the people we are fighting are the victims because they've been dispossessed, unemployed, or what have you. And it's just, it is not reality. It beggars belief, and it will constantly bring the wrong response. So the last 7.5 years have been a lesson in what not to do when faced by groups like Al-Qaeda or ISIS.
Yeah, but are we learning the lesson, though, Dr. Gorka? I mean, we're that definition of insanity, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about it. I always think that, you know, with the latest attack, I pray to God and I say, okay, this is it. This is the one when President Obama and the White House are going to say, okay, we messed it up, we got it wrong, and now we're going to take the threat seriously. I thought this would happen in San Bernardino. Mm. I thought it would happen in Orlando. But no, it's guns. They blame guns. And they come out with asinine statements at the cabinet level that, for instance, from A.G. Lynch, yes. Our greatest weapon is love.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that didn't work against Hitler, and it didn't work against the Soviet Union, and it's not going to work against Al-Qaeda or ISIS.
Well, Gorka, Dr. Gorka, you, where you grew up, you understood the clear contrast between good and evil. Because you could talk about it in that context. Here in America today, if you bring up evil, then it for some reason, it triggers some sort of religious defensive mechanism. This is, oh, we can't think of something as evil. But if something is evil right in your face and you deny it, then you allow evil to take precedent and take over. And that's what's been happening. And President Obama, you know, sadly, as you say, has denied the obvious, and he doesn't want to call it for what it is. You know, even Bill O'Reilly finally came out, and he had a kind of a delicate way to say that he is compassionate towards, you know, towards Muslims. I think it's more than that, but that's okay. But at least he's seeing that, look at the fruit of his decisions. The fruit of his decisions are pro-Muslim, and they're anti-American. I don't know how else to describe it. Do you?
Yeah, it's a huge problem that goes beyond just national security in general, whether it's, you know, the Black Lives Matter and what they've caused in America for our law enforcement officers. It's actually a really big philosophical issue. It's the denial of the existence of objective truth. That's our bigger problem. And that's why you can't say words like evil, because, you know, all cultures are equal. Or maybe, you know, we have to bend over backwards to respect certain cultures. So if you did, look at our official documents, but just, you know, any of your listeners can, you know, download the unclassified national security strategy of America or any Defense Department strategic document. We don't even use the word enemy anymore. What does that tell you? If you don't use the word enemy, how will you even defeat your enemy?
Exactly.
That's the real question.
Well, and this is the problem, is we've colored it in such a way to where we've made ourselves so neutral and non-gender overseas that we're doing the same thing here in America. So why are we surprised with the outbreak of Black Lives Matter and the other aggressive moves that are being made by evil people?
Yeah, Yeah, there's a connection between these two phenomena, Black Lives Matter and the jihadis. And it's that the perpetrator of the violence is really the victim. And the victim is the cause of the violence. It's the cops. Oh, the cops, they're the cause of the violence.
Right.
It's the same thing. So again, reality is being turned on its head. Everything, black is white, white is black. And again, that's why the threat will get worse before it gets better, because our political elite denies reality. It is the agitators that are making the problem worse. It's the politicians that sow divisiveness amongst the society. That truth cannot speak its name.
Well, and you hit the nail on the head, Dr. Gorka, and, even Jesus was asked at one point, by the leadership at that time, when, Jesus talked about truth and how important it was. And Pontius Pilate said, what is truth? And this is where we are in America today, is we mockingly ask the question, what is truth? And it's like we're denying the obvious here, aren't we?
Wow, we could have a long discussion about that.
And I'm sorry, you kind of opened that up a little bit. I just kind of went with that, so forgive me. And yes, you're right.
No,
we can't open that up.
Look, you're absolutely right. You won't find any disagreement from me. This is the deeper truth. When you say all cultures are equal, open the borders, everything can be negotiated. You can talk. You can sit down and negotiate with the mullahs who want to destroy us, and every Friday say we are the evil empire and we should be nuked. I mean, that's the absurdity. This
yes.
is where you get. I mean, Pontius Pilate's statement gets you to a place where you think giving the Iranian regime $150 billion when they want to kill us is a good idea. You absolutely nailed it, Will.
Well, Dr. Gorka, again, congratulations on the best-selling book, Defeating Jihad, the Winnable War. The big takeaway here, 30 seconds for America today as it stands as we go into Cleveland for the Republican National Convention. What do we need to keep our eyes open for?
Well, I think we just have to recognize that November will not be about Obamacare. It's not going to be about pocketbooks. It's about national security, and Hillary will make the situation worse. At least Donald Trump, although he doesn't have a background in national security, he wants to win a war.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Blood pressure tends to run higher during the day and lower during nighttime sleep. However, many with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP health tip after this.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really? Because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like One Touch and Walgreens True Metrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket costs when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to AARP.org.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now.
and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, rodents, and other pests. If you've just made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has over 85 years of experience exterminating invaders like you. And right now, they're making it easier than ever for homes to be protected by offering a free pest estimate to every caller at 1-800-676-1468. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, rodents, and other pests, this is your eviction notice. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will protect that home with a 100% satisfaction money-back guarantee, so you can never return. Warning, homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate at 1-800-676-1468. 1-800-676-1468.
Limitations apply. See plan for details.
You know, you've been hearing about Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients keeping the body healthy. Bill Martinez Live now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 ORAC points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 855-305-8326 or BillMartinezLive.com. Longevity, that's 855-305-8326.
Martinez Live.
What does it take to win your love for me? How can I make this dream come true for me? Oh, I just got to know.
Hey, that might be what they're singing there in Cleveland, you know, Donald Trump and family, you know. Hey, what is it going to take to get this party together? It's 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here with us. And with us right now is Israel Ortega, a writer for the conservative political news site Opportunity Lives. He has years of experience working in both the public and private sector, possessing a thorough understanding of a variety of public policy issues, including, but not limited to, immigration, education, political analysis, and Latin America. Izzy, always good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
Good morning. Doing well, hey. Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Wonderful. How's Cleveland?
It's going, yeah. You know, I was impressed by the security, real professional, and people are starting to trickle in this morning, and it's looking like it's like they've got everything ready, you know, to get things going.
Well, of course, the media has been trying to make a lot of this deal. I mean, this thing, you know, could be in light of what happened in Baton Rouge and the way, you know, local police have been targeted and ambushed here lately. You know, it makes for a very, you know, tenuous situation. But I'm glad to hear that security has been heightened, and wisely so. A lot of controversy about, you know, I mean, it's a tough deal. I mean, here you are. You find yourself in a state where open carry and the Second Amendment is honored, and except for a, you know, an area where they've said, hey, we're going to have an exception here, but we're not going to do it across the state, right?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, the governor, Guy Kasich, has affirmed that. You know, he's protecting the constitutional right to carry arms. But, you know, I think that security here has is taking into consideration every possible precaution out there. And so I think we got to, you know, put our faith in the man upstairs, but also in the security, and I hope that it's a good convention.
Can we put the faith, some faith in the people that somehow that they can say, you know what, let's have a conversation, let's talk. I mean, obviously, you know, we've been dealing with some things here for a long time that we thought should have been handled, or we'd be further along, but instead here it is, it's all coming to a head. And this is where our country is right now. And,
right.
You know, we don't want 1968 Chicago to happen all over again, because here it
right.
is. I mean, you know, we've got this contention and this manipulation. We have some outsiders, you know, trying to muck up the, if I might say, if that's
yeah.
a proper political
yeah.
term. But, you know, kind of muck up the
yeah.
works here, the political process that,
yeah.
you know, we need to have, right?
Yeah, that's right, Bill. I think, you know, I think it's becoming, you know, more clear that that the party knows that if they want to win in November, the party has to be unified. That's
yeah.
there's no way that that the party that Donald Trump is elected president if the party's not unified. So I think people are starting to get that. People are starting to remember that we've got judicial vacancies that are looming, and I think, you know, the prospect of a Hillary Clinton presidency scares a lot of people more maybe than the opposition to Donald Trump. But we'll see. You know, obviously this election has been one of surprises, and you know, anything is possible. And we'll hopefully get a chance to hear another side of Donald Trump today that maybe folks haven't heard before. Of course, headlining the speeches today will be Melania Trump will speak tonight. So
yes.
we'll hear from her and maybe get a sense of a Donald Trump we don't know.
Well, Izzy, we know that, you know, the Latino population and as a Democratic group, and I think that there's been so much divisiveness in terms of splitting people and, you know, making us more of the un-American, you know, un-United States than United States.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been, you know, problematic. But, you know, here it is. You participated in a roundtable of other Latinos and Latinas, you know, talking about, you know, about the Latino vote and how important it is, and that it still needs to be noted, because needless to say, it seems like the black constituency wants to homogenize Latinos into their problems, and I don't see these as monolithic issues that you could just marry these things together and just say what is black is brown and brown is black.
Right.
I see. Do you am I misreading this? So help me understand.
No, not at all. Not at all, Bill. And in fact, that's the point I was making at times at that event you were mentioning. This is in New York, and this is an event hosted by Twitter. It's a conversation about politics and the Hispanic vote. And yeah, I spoke up several times when I disagreed with the panel on a variety of issues. And I think it's important, as you point out, Bill, that there are differences. Hispanic vote is not monolithic, you know, despite what people may want to think. And I think that's good for the democracy. It's good for our government. It's good, well, frankly, for the Hispanic electorate, because if it's monolithic and it's very predictable, then you know, there's going to be less interest in both parties to try to court you.
Well, it's underrepresented. There's no doubt. I mean, you know, networks will bend over backwards to have black representation, but there's very little Hispanic representation when you consider in most markets, you know, Hispanics represent anywhere from 35% to 45%.
That's right. Yeah. No, I think that's fair. And, you know, it's changing. You know, it's, I think the networks recognize that there's a need to do more of this. But clearly there's more, you know, that we need. And so, you know, hopefully, we'll see some more voices, this convention, that maybe, typically don't speak up. I think I'm particularly looking forward to hearing from Donald Trump supporters that are Latino, Hispanic. Mm-hmm. I think it's important that people know that there are folks that are supporting Trump, outside of the conventional wisdom.
Well, what they're supporting is the hope for America. I mean, you know, Trump happens to be part of the answer here, but it comes down to we the people. It comes down to whether you're Hispanic, you're black, whatever, that you got to understand the Constitution. You got to understand the principles that makes America go round, and that rises the tide for every, you know, that rises the tide, and then all boats rise accordingly. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. That's exactly right. And, you know, USA Today has a cover today on profiling, just interviewing a bunch of Donald Trump supporters from all across the country, and that's what they're articulating, Bill. You know, they're articulating that you know, really what Donald Trump is representing is a change that frankly is needed in this country. You know, for such a long time, the political class has not lived up to expectations. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why a lot of people are putting their faith in Donald Trump.
Well, you and I talked about this before, Izzy, you know, and when my conversation with Hispanics, you know, when they first start talking about Donald Trump, it is the typical response that the media has generated for them. But then when you ask them questions, practical ground level, you know, questions about whether it's building a wall, whether it's being prudent about the refugees that we let in. I mean, our country right now, Izzy, we're sending sports representatives to Rio de Janeiro for the Olympics. And we're doing this, you know, we're throwing caution to the wind. You got the Zika virus outbreak there going on. The government is corrupt. The police, they want to take some days off. I mean, they've had it. They're underpaid, underappreciated. I mean, you think we got problems here in America. And here they got this showcase event, this sports event, and you got the Zika virus on an outbreak there. It's one of the hot zones. And we're going to send 170 nations are going to be represented in Rio. They could potentially get infected. Now they're going to take that back to their individual countries. I mean, are we opening up ourselves to a pandemic? But, you know, nobody can say, hey, are we smarter than this? I mean, you know, what's wrong? What are we missing here, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I mean, I think that's what people are so frustrated with, Bill. I mean, what you're articulating is a lot of common sense, but there's this overriding political correctness, overriding, just a sense that we don't want to say the wrong things or do the wrong things. And I think that's we got to call things for what they are. I mean, that's why it's so frustrating when President Obama refuses to acknowledge that, to call radical Islamic terrorism. I mean, even just saying that, you know, in some company is not right. And I think that has to stop. You know, we were very clear in previous wars. You know, we called the Nazis, communists. So I think that's why people who were not, you know, following politics in the process, you know, find Donald Trump refreshing because he's saying things much different than a lot of politicians are willing to say.
Kind of amazing for so long. You think about it, Izzy, how we've been duped into all this, you know, through the form and fashion of political correctness, as you suggest. But in the Hispanic community, I mean, it's real simple. When you're sitting at a table with a bunch of tortillas and some good food, man, they go, what, are you nuts? I mean, this is crazy. This is killing our families. Whatever issue, you just go down the list of it, and whatever threatens the family, boy, the ire of Hispanics rises up. And this is like, you know, I called out Snoop Dogg the other day because here he is performing at the DNC, and I'm going, Snoop, you're going to go on stage, perform at the DNC that supports abortion, that has killed, you know, millions of young black babies. And you're there on stage celebrating this. How? What am I missing? What's not getting connected here? Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. I mean, I agree with you 100%. That's, obviously, you know how important the media is in terms of what they cover, what they don't cover. And, what you just mentioned is one of those things that is not covered. We saw the atrocity of Kermit Gosnell, that abortionist doctor who, just had horrific things. And the media barely covered it. I mean, I remember the Washington Post writing it wasn't a front page story. This is like in one of the section C or something of like the crime section.
Right.
And I think it just goes to show you that there is a double standard here. And I think that's why, conservatives are upset. Certainly I think for a lot of folks, Donald Trump was not.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. Feed the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.